Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the monster shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I am currently joined by no one because apparently my co-hosts are late. And now I just drew myself off the switchboard, so it's going to take me a second to get back. Oh, what the fuck? Katrina, if you're on, put yourself on the line, please. If not, then just give me 1 second here. I mean, that's not the fucking username, dude. Craig, if you're on, I'll put you on the air in just a second. Man, give me a second. All right, everybody. We'll be ready to go here in just a second. Technical difficulties are almost over with. Almost. But anyway, thank you everyone for joining us today, and we are joined by our co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I was doing good until I just almost screwed up the whole show by like screwing up the switchboard and everything, but we're back on track here. And we got our other co-host, Couture, on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. What is this bullshit? You don't know how to run the show anymore?
Nah, my fat fingers are pushing buttons over X's that they shouldn't, and I just kind of knocked myself off. And then I had to re-enter the username and password for some reason, so that kind of took a little longer. But before we get started, Craig, we're glad you could join us. We were worried about you. You know, we didn't hear anything last week. We thought maybe you might have got kidnapped by Bigfoot or something out there in the Seattle wilderness.
No, I did alert you earlier in the week that very possible that I would at least meet Jericho, if not be in on an interview with him as well. But thanks to publicists and timing and things like that, I was left out of the fray.
Well, I did see that's where you were later on that night because I saw the picture you posted with your family and Chris Jericho.
Yes, sir.
I didn't care about what happened to you, Craig.
I was going to say, your kid's almost as big as Chris Jericho, man. Maybe you have a future wrestler in your future.
He is sitting down. You do realize that.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I thought he didn't have a lift in his boots.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So how was meeting Chris Jericho? I know you talked a little bit on that other show that you're on, but why don't you share with our listeners?
Well, I found out 2 weeks before the fact that he was going to be at Third Place Books I can't remember the name of the city. It's just outside of Seattle. Lake Forest Park, there it is. And I found out he's going to be there doing a signing on Friday last week, and then also would be at McCord Air Force Base and also Fort Lewis, which is literally about 15, 20 minutes down the road from my home. So instead of, you know, bugging my father-in-law, who is, you know, ex-military and whatnot, I figured I'd make the drive out to Seattle and make an evening out of it. But I quickly alerted Brian Alvarez and told him that Jericho was going to be in town and to shoot him an email and maybe we could interview him. Excuse me. Which he did, and oddly enough, Chris emailed him back within the hour. And I said, "Well, I want to be in on it." I said, "I'll tell you what: you ask the wrestling questions, and I'll ask the music questions because, you know, he's signing a book. He's in this little band that's actually doing very well this year, and podcast is I love his podcast. I think it's probably my favorite podcast of the week, aside from Over the Top Radio, of course. But
of course."
Yeah. Anyway, came down to the day he was in town. I'm feverishly emailing Brian. Brian doesn't know anything. Jericho's publicist is in the way, and I think Brian referred to him as his handler. But anyway, long story short, I just figured, well, I don't know if it's going to happen, so I got in the car with the family and drove down to Lake Forest Park, walked into the bookstore. I figured there'd be throngs and throngs of people, but oh no, there was maybe 50 people in line. And got in line and finally got to the front. It was only maybe half hour waited. My son got a book signed. I got a book signed. And I I shook his hand and said, my name's Craig, and he said, "Good to meet you, Craig." I said, I work for Brian Alvarez. And Jericho looked at me with his puzzled look and said, he's like your boss? And I said, well, one day a week he is. And he laughed, and he goes, yeah, I just talked to Brian and sat down with him for a while. Well, I had heard that, and I had not heard from Brian, so initially I was enraged.
Oh, I would be too. And I wouldn't believe whatever the story it was, and I'd still kick his ass.
So, come to find out that Brian actually had to drive to Jericho's hotel downtown, and luckily a lot of guys that I know are a ready, fire, aim kind of guy, and I try not to do that. I'm the ready, aim, fire guy. So luckily I already aimed fire instead of the reverse order. But there were so few people there that he actually took time and actually talked to people. So I had mentioned that a while back that a buddy of mine who used to be in bands around the Tacoma area ended up in Duff McKagan's band Loaded. And then found out recently that he is now touring with Chris Jericho as his bass player. His name is Jeff Roush. And I've seen Jeff, it was the late 80s, early 90s. He was in bands. And see him around Seattle all the time. He's done gigs with Mike McCready from Pearl Jam. He's got his own band called The Guessing Game. They're just a phenomenal band. And found out he was in Jericho's band, and it's like, well, that's pretty freaking cool. So I said, hey, Chris, how did you meet Jeff Roush? And his eyes lit up. He goes, do you know Jeff? And I said, well, I'm an acquaintance of his. He used to play in bands around town, and I told him, I said, have you heard about the band that he used to be in Tacoma when in the late 80s, early 90s? And he goes, no. I said they were called the Rhino Humpers. And he cackled. He just cackled. Oh, thanks, man. I'm so going to rib him about that. And so we talked for a bit, and it was very nice. Like I said, I think I was probably the fourth or fifth from the last people in line. So I didn't hang out, but he was scheduled there to be there 2 hours, and it was only probably about an hour after he got done. So I don't know exactly what went on after that. But so anyway, it was nice meeting Mr. Jericho. He was a fine gentleman, very nice, took time, took a picture with my family and I, took a picture with my son, and I actually have an action shot of him giving a high five to my boy Cameron, so he was very excited to meet Mr. Jericho.
Oh, yeah, I'm making a picture with the F4 World Weekly.
I was going to grab a Death of WCW off the shelf and have him look whimsical at it, but I thought three
there
pictures.
There was none.
I would buy an album by a band named the Rhino Humpers, just based on their name. I would buy an album by them.
You would? Okay.
Yeah, just to say that I had it. The Rhino Humpers. That's awesome.
The Rhino Humpers, yes. But with all seriousness, if you're in the mood for some new music and you like music, check out Jeff's band. It's called The Guessing Game. Just love these guys. They're amazing.
That's
and
not
you
good
think,
as Rhino Humpers.
Probably not.
Well, I need you to do two things, Craig. I still need you to kick Brian's ass because I know it's all a cover story. You know, he just didn't want you there in the first place. I know it. And second of all, I need you to write an email with everything you just said about who you are. But don't send it to Jericho. Send it to Lance and then ask Lance to add, please, 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 these are my friends. Please, please, please do their show.
You know I've done
this. Why would you say that on the air?
Maybe we'll get lucky. Yeah, you do. Okay,
you know
by
I've
the
done
way,
this before, right?
We can try again. This time we got an angle. You're kind of in. You know the bass player is.
Oh sure.
Yeah, you know
the Rhino Humpers.
But
yeah,
yeah, the Rhino. Just say Rhino Humpers. That's the name of the email.
Sure.
They'll be laughing from the start. But we're actually getting a caller. Okay,
really?
And so I'm gonna put him on the air. So it's either gonna be the best call ever, or it's gonna be a real shitty call because it's either Rey Mysterio or it's Alex Goff.
Guessing it's Alex.
How suspicious are you that Ed all of a sudden is this female wrestling connoisseur? It's really suspicious to me.
Why is it suspicious?
I don't know. I suspected something's up.
I'm suspecting something is up as well. And then something else that's real suspicious lately is these leaks coming in the Ring of Honor section about certain wrestlers. First, there was the ACH one that I noticed that said that he liked to play, backstage, he liked to play video games, which I guess raised the ire of some of the guys backstage. And now there's the recent Elgin leaks. And I just wonder, it kind of makes me look at Ring of Honor kind of interestingly. If it's not coming from Ring of Honor, I guess I'm not exactly being fair, but someone obviously is giving Dave information that he's posting that is kind of derogatory. And just my opinion, I've talked about it with a couple of other people, but in my opinion, I think that if you got something derogatory to say, I think you should put your name next to it.
I agree.
As in Dave put his name or whoever's giving Dave the information?
Well, you know, I mean, anonymity is how Dave Meltzer operates, right? I mean, he has to be able to have anonymous sources to be able to do his job. But the fact is that, you know, if I have something negative to say about Ed and San Antonio, and I go to the Observer and I say, you know, I think Ed covers women's wrestling just so he can get free tickets so he can take pictures of women wrestler butts, and I don't put my name next to it, I mean, that is not... I mean, there's something wrong ethically, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, if there's something negative to say, if Michael Elgin is at a show with 30 people and he says, I should be in front of more people, well, if the source is anonymous, then I don't really take that as being credible. But yet it's in the Observer, which Dave is lending that guy credibility when I'm not sure that the guy should have credibility. You know what I mean? If
well,
he's anonymous.
I got two things. Okay, you mentioned that Dave's being derogatory lately. Have you been listening to your friends' Todd Martin shows with Brian and been reading those back in the day, Observer reviews, Dave was a billion times more derogatory than
he was.
Ever is.
That's true.
And you know what? You kind of do make a point. I'm not going to say you don't. But here's the thing, Alex. The Observer is, what, 12 pages, 14 pages? If he named every person who gave him some kind of information, which he actually does, there is, I haven't got the paper in a while. It's not on the internet one, but on the paper he used to have, thanks for contributing thing. I've been mentioned on it many times in the past, but he does have that. But if he was to add that to every story, you're going to add about 3 or 4 pages to the Observer. So it's kind of like, you know, why should he do it for one person and not the other 200 people who sent them information? You know what I mean?
No, to reply to your first point, big shout-out to my boy Todd Martin, represent D.C., woo-woo. Absolutely. I mean, Dave criticizes wrestlers still today, right? Brian used to criticize wrestlers
sure.
in his newsletter, but his name was always attached to it. So you knew that the Bob Backlund criticism in 1982 was coming from Dave Meltzer because he put his name to it. But these are people backstage at these shows, whether it be wrestlers or whoever that is saying derogatory things about Mike Elgin, and obviously Dave feels, you know, some kind of credibility with the person. But he's putting his name in there, and then Elgin's not getting a chance to respond, right? He has to just go on Twitter and say, I'm reading these anonymous sources say these things about me. And it's not exactly fair to Elgin, in my opinion, or to the readers of The Observer. And then the third thing is, like, I absolutely understand what you're saying about, you know, Dave in the past has thanked, I guess, people like you and other more important people for providing them with information. Dr. Lucius Steve Sims, for example, Chris Zellner, you know. But I'm sure whatever Ed provided was fabulous, and I'm sure we read it, and it shaped the way we look at wrestling today. But what
changed
I'm saying is that there are things, absolutely, you know, Craig used to be lost, you know, listening to Marilyn Manson. And then, anyways, but yeah, sure. I mean, you know, Dave... Dave has stuff in there, right, that can't be – you can't put a name to some of that stuff, you know what I mean? And some of it explains why what you're seeing on television, you know, Vince is hot or cold on this guy. And that's how journalism works. But this – Tarrant, and it's happened twice, and that's the only reason – the first time I saw it with ACH, I didn't comment anywhere. But the second time I saw it with Elgin, I just thought that, you know, listen, you know – some of these guys on the independent scene need to start putting their name to it because, you know, Elgin can defend himself. You know what I mean? Like,
give Elgin the opportunity.
You
said he can defend himself. He absolutely can defend himself because he can write Dave. Dave's very good at, like, if he says something and it's wrong and someone sends him an email, he corrects it on either the next show
absolutely.
Or at the very least the update. And I think if Elgin sent him an email and gave his side of the story, I'm sure Dave would be more than happy to write that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I bet he'd be tickled to death because it's Elgin. It's more attention. People be like, oh, shit, you know, Elgin's, it's a thing from Elgin. So, you know what I mean? So they do have that opportunity. It's not like it's like they don't have any kind of recourse. They do if they actually try.
And I think there's another thing that I think a lot of people need to look at. ROH isn't the first company that's tried to use the dirt sheets as a way to work with smart marks. So I think there's a good possibility that it's all just going to be an angle, just like Elgin, you know, leaving, quote unquote, leaving ROH and quitting and all this. It might just be a ruse, an angle, who knows?
We need the return of the nicknames from, like, the 80s and the 90s. That's what's missing. Junk Food Dog, Psycho Sid, Andre the Giant Embarrassment, stuff like that. That'll sell.
As a longtime Figure Four subscriber, Brian Alvarez certainly hasn't been known for his interviews as of late. His interviews have not been the best because he has on a Craig being one of them, you know. Ed was on a show, you know, earlier this year. I have to say that, or Ed will. But, sure, you know, Brian has
a lot of his interviews.
I just wanted to finish this up real quick that, you know,
okay.
Brian has a rotating cast of guys he has on. doesn't really do a lot of interviews, and when he does, they're okay, but they're not nothing groundbreaking. But his two interviews,
I should have my own women's wrestling
Chris
show.
Chris Jericho. There you go. But his interviews with Jimmy Jacobs and Chris Jericho were really good, really, really good. And I want to give props to the boy Brian Alvarez for those two interviews. I mean, the Jericho interview in particular was really, really good, really, really different. Brian felt a lot more comfortable, I felt, you know, with talking to Jericho, maybe obviously because it's a little bit easier to be familiar with Jericho's career as compared to, you know, Chikara wrestler or ABC or whatever, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But his interview with Jacobs was really good as well. I thought Jacobs had a lot of really good information. And Jacobs sounded to be in a really good place, which, you know, he does figure four, you know, almost annually. And this is like the best place I've ever heard him in any of those interviews. So I'd like to give a shout out to the boy, Brian Alvarez.
Well, he still sucks. It was all the guests. There's two kinds of guests. There's guests that are hard to work with, and there's guests that are easy to work with. And Jericho and Jimmy Jacobs are two of the easy ones. But no, one of the reasons why he doesn't get the interviews as much now is just for the fact that Doc Young's health is so bad, because that was the only way he was getting the interviews, except for the Dave, you know, the ones Dave gets. Now, you know, Doc's so sick he can't get as many, and Brian, he's not going to go out and try and get them by himself. So that's why there's been like a lack as far as outside interviews, except when there's like a promotional tour. You know, that's when they'll get like Booker T or, you know, something like that. So that's at least one of the reasons they've kind of gone down as far as interview, as many interviews as he does. He has kind of gotten lazy, and he does settle for the Lance Todd, Dr. Lucha triangle, you know what I mean? It does not work. It's like, you know, they're going to be there every week or every other week, and he doesn't have to send emails, because you can ask Craig, and you do a wrestling show. I'm sure you've tried to get guests, Alex. It's not easy.
There's so much resentment when he said your name, Craig. You have to respond to that. He's like, you know, you can ask Craig.
Mm. That's just how the Mexicans emphasize the name Craig.
I just don't understand why Brian even likes Ed. He's always
because I have to plan his whole WrestleMania and Vegas trip, and that's the only way he knows what he's doing.
Nobody wants to plan that shit. You know.
You know what, Ed? You really need to take the initiative and just let him do it himself. You enjoy vacation so much better.
I'm thinking about letting him do it this year for WrestleMania, because I don't know a goddamn thing about San Francisco. And I don't really know anyone in San Francisco, you know what I mean? So it's like, I have no freaking clue where everything is. I don't know.
I don't think it's actually in San Francisco proper, but...
Or San Jose.
No, it's in Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. See, I don't even know what city it's in.
There you go.
Yeah, but I kind of, when I saw you calling in, Alex, I actually had a feeling that's exactly what you were going to want to talk about, because I saw your little tirade on Twitter the other day.
I was going to call in and ask about the recent success of the Lucha Sisters, but because that's all that seemingly you would like to talk about recently.
That's going to be the main headline on the Wrestling News of the Week when we get to that. Lucha Sisters taking over NXT.
if you're the Lucha Sisters and you're listening, just watch your drinks if you're around that. That's all I have to say.
Put your hand over your glass.
Maybe if it's been sitting there for longer than a couple of minutes, maybe get a new glass. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him. Why would I want to knock him out?
Ed, you can't use the defense. Well, she didn't say no.
All right, well, thank you, Ed, and everybody for having me on. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, Alex, talk to you later.
That's a Marine right there. Respect.
I'm just hoping one day it actually would be Rey Mysterio, dude, instead of Alex.
Yeah, keep holding on hope.
Well, maybe it'll be free WWE soon, and then there will be Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Actually, we can talk about that right now, if you'd like to.
Sure.
What are we starting with?
Rey Mysterio. we got some news. We got some news this week, and since that was a good segue into our news of the week, we'll start off with Rey Mysterio. There is a little bit of an update.
Yeah, we'll say the religious just for the main event.
Sure. So Rey Mysterio, as some of you know, he did end up on one of the AAA shows. He didn't. He was just there via satellite, as I remember correctly. Right?
Yes, and I think they were supposed to cut it off before they actually showed him, but they ended up showing him, and that's what kind of caused all the controversy.
Right. So here's the story, as it reads. Hugo Savinovich, who works for AAA as a liaison to Puerto Rico and U.S. business, told KGB Wrestling that Mysterio is done with the WWE, and he will come back to AAA when his WWE deal expires. This is a very touchy subject for obvious reasons. Rey Mysterio is under contract with WWE till April. They want him back. He obviously doesn't want to go back, but if he doesn't go back, they can extend his contract. Likely they did just because they don't want him, they can extend his contract like they did because they also don't want him walking right into AAA or Lucha Underground. So, basically, they want to keep him under contract so he won't go anywhere else. Probably much like they did with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They did that with Evan when he first got hurt. They rolled his contract over, I think, even, I know for sure, 1 year, maybe even two, just to keep him on the payroll while he was hurt.
I think Austin is under a deal right now where he basically is a WWE employee for life, but he can't, you know, wrestle anywhere else, but he does participate in outside projects, you know, much like Redneck Island and of course, his podcast, which, quite frankly, has not been very good the last month, but that's another story for another time.
You know that employee for life thing doesn't actually always last for life. There's a lot of examples that you could look at as far as a lot of some of these old timers, like superstar Billy Graham and all the guys his dad told him to take care of that he ended up letting go after a few years. So, you know, if they have a falling out, it'll end. It'll be one of those things where he'll always come and go. I mean, he'll always come and go, but you know, I mean, this is just, you know, they're happy with each other right now until one of them pisses the other one off. And then, you know, they'll have to go on that for a while.
He's not going to go anywhere else anyway. Shit.
Yeah, why would he? But then, same thing with The Rock, though. The Rock, you know, he had that little beef with him for a few years. I mean, he came back and strained it all out. But, you know what I mean? Mm. It could happen. I mean, it's happened before, you know, when he was wrestling.
So, speaking of Stone Cold, there's been some rumblings in the last few weeks about him possibly wrestling again. Cotrera, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't really care.
Ed?
If he does, I'm pretty sure it would be Dallas and not San Francisco, but I think it would be awesome to see him wrestle one more time. I mean, it's not going to be much of a match. He's going to do his entrance, come in, throw a few punches, kicks, do a stunner, and drink a shitload of beer. It'll be fun.
I was trying to think about who would be a good person for him to work with. I don't know.
Yeah, at the time, CM Punk seemed like the right guy, but obviously that's not going to happen.
I bet that would make CM Punk come back.
I bet it would, too. I don't know. I think a big match like that, I think that would bring him back. I think he's too much of a mark for himself not to come back like that. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, that is true. You know, the CM Punk fanboys will get very upset about saying that, but he is a very big mark for himself. But again, a lot of wrestlers are. I mean, most wrestlers are, in fact.
Oh, yeah. If you can't believe in yourself, then who can you believe in? And this guy, you know, he believes in himself. Good for him.
As long as they don't, as they don't bring CM Punk back and they don't let him be the last match of WrestleMania, just to piss him off. That's fine with me. I ain't so tired of hearing that shit.
The last match of WrestleMania. The Miz was in the match of
WrestleMania. That's so stupid when he's bitching about that.
If he did come back, this is what I would do. He would be in the opening match of WrestleMania, and AJ would be in the main event.
And then what would you do about the match when he walked out after you hold him that? That's what happened.
Well, I wouldn't tell him that at first. First, I'd be like, "Oh, we're penciling it out. We don't have enough time." But you know, you secretly you cut all the matches short after, and then you add him at the very end. And you know, he can't walk out, or if he walked out, he already wrestled.
That's why you don't book,
dude. I'm an awesome booker. I've told you 100 times, they always steal my ideas.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
They, you need, they certainly have they been stealing some lately? Because if so, then you're a really shitty booker.
Well, I haven't
yeah.
given any ideas. I've learned to keep my mouth shut. That's why.
That's a flat-out lie.
I throw him a bone, it's going to be like the biggest money-making WrestleMania of all time.
I doubt that.
Oh, for crying out loud.
You're just a negative person.
Not just negative on you.
So negative.
So, next news story. Moving right along. We have an updated NXT TakeOver lineup. This will be on December 11th, of course, on the WWE Network. Check it out for $9.99. It looks to be The Ascension versus Tommy and Finn Balor. I would imagine this has got to be one of the Ascension's last matches in NXT. I don't know why they haven't been called up yet.
I think it's going to be the last match for a few people.
Yeah, very possible. Yeah,
one of them
WWE.
Pretty much telling you, the main event's pretty much telling you what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte, is going to be wrestling Sasha Banks. Of course, the two women's tag team collide in this women's title match. It says WWE Women's Champion, but NXT Women's Champion.
Which is really the world champion when you think about it. But do you know how they set up this match the week before?
I am so behind in NXT, I'm not 100%, to be honest with you.
Well, I forget what Sasha did, but Charlotte, to advance to this match, defeats one Mia Yim, making her first NXT appearance, and hopefully not her last.
I see. Yeah,
and then the week before,
a one-and-done like...
Well, actually, it's not a one-and-done because she also was at the NXT tapings, and old Blue Pants makes her return the week before on NXT.
Okay, who's that?
Leva Bates.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Yeah, she. When she came out before, she came out wearing like a Kitty Pryde from the X-Men outfit. So she had like blue pants on, and Enzo was like telling, get old Blue Pants out here. And then she came out, and then the fans went crazy chanting Blue Pants.
I see. Huh. Well, good for them. That's awesome. And the main event looks to be the NXT champion, Adrian Neville. He'll be wrestling Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has to win or he will quit. So, as Ed alluded to earlier, I'm thinking that Mr. Zayn is going to get called up here at the first of the year. But who knows?
But there's also a chance he could win the match and Adrian might be the one moving up.
I'll tell you what, when they had that tag team match about, it's probably been 6 weeks now, when they had that NXT match on Raw, and I'll tell you the part where the crowd figured out that this was okay to like, he did a clothesline in the corner, and instead of running back to the other corner, he did about
three handspring elbows and flipped and bumped in the corner and then hit an amazing elbow in the corner, and the crowd lost their minds. And they hit the nail on the head when they said, when they coined him the man that defies gravity. So who knows? Maybe they will call him up.
I bet the loser gets to be the bunny.
That would make the most sense to me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just could be Neville, but if it was my pick, I'd probably go with Sammy first, just because he is, you know, more charismatic.
They'll make Sammy the first cousin of Sheamus or somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, their booking has not been the best lately. So.
Although when Damian Sandow came out as Sheamus with the white tights on, about that.
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
Okay, here's an interesting...
It was good, but it wasn't as good as The Miz freaking out when he won. I think he won. He said he won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he was doing commentary when he won, but his reaction with his hands and just like, that was the greatest thing Miz has ever done. Ever.
I think Sandow's going to end up being a baby face out of all this when it's all said and done.
That's
fine. I know it's just me.
That's fine. They need baby faces. They really do. Miz, when he had his epic freak out on Raw, it was like a bunch of teen girls seeing No Direction hit the stage. You know what I mean? Just the total freak out, losing their minds.
Seeing who hit the stage?
I'm sorry?
New Edition? New Edition?
No. No, New Edition is not what I was referring to.
That's where Bobby Brown got started.
Yes, it was.
Where he smoked crack with Whitney.
Yeah, it was Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, if I remember the song correctly. That cool?
We got that much into it.
Wait, what? That was Belt Biz DeVoe. Was that the rest of the band?
No.
I don't remember. It was Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. And Bobby went solo. And what happened? I think the other two.
There was another guy who was solo. And then I'm pretty sure it was Belt Biz DeVoe.
I think you might be right, Ed.
Anyway. They sang "That Girl Is Poison."
Yeah, that's probably why he was going solo. He said that was his prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
He could do what he wants to do.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay,
I liked that Bobby Brown shit when I was younger. I'm sorry, I liked that stuff.
That one song was good. That one song was.
He did the awesome Ghostbusters song from Ghostbusters 2.
I'd probably have to hear that one again. I don't really remember it.
I like that. I like Every Little Step I Take. That was a good song.
What was that one
mm-hmm.
song? Whitney's like first song when she's fucking all young and hot and not crack addict. Yeah, I wanted to. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. She's like a totally. She looked like she aged like 60 years when she died to that video.
Well, crack's not good for your skin.
Yeah.
Or your teeth, or your lungs, or
from your husband.
Your hair, everything. God, she was a mess, dude. I mean.
Yeah.
We can use dying. That's like Elizabeth dying. How the fuck does that happen? You know?
I don't know. Thank God I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right? No, she was like the all-American girl, choir girl. I think her aunt was like Dionne Warwick or something. You know, she was like and then when she did like, she lip-synced the national anthem and everyone fell in love with her. And, you know, just America's sweetheart. And then she just turned into just a, you know, the crack got her and just turned her into a crack addict. I mean, And when I say crack addict, I'm sure everyone can picture what a crack addict is and how they look and
mm-hmm.
just how they act, all crazy. I mean, that's a shame.
That was my bodyguard.
Damn,
that was a pretty good movie. The bodyguard was a pretty good movie.
I never saw that one, actually.
You never saw The Bodyguard?
I never saw it.
Really?
You liar.
Yeah. No, I never saw it. I never wanted to see it because I didn't. By that point, I just didn't like her music.
You're going to say the next thing you're going to say, you never heard I Will Always Love You.
I have heard of that. I've heard it way too many times, trust me.
Cotrer is incensed that you have not seen The Bodyguard. He's taken aback that you've never seen
it. I can't fathom somebody not seeing that movie. Especially when you were younger. You same age I was when it came out.
It was
high school.
It seemed kind of gay to me at the time.
Yeah, but movie about a bodyguard. Yes.
Yeah.
A bodyguard.
Yeah,
he was a jabroni.
Yeah, thank you. Kevin Costner.
It was Patrick Swayze, right?
No.
Well, who was in it with her? Oh, wait, who was
Kevin
it?
Costner.
Did you see
Kevin,
Dirty
that's
Dancing?
Right, Kevin
What'd
Costner.
You think of it? Did you see Dirty Dancing? What'd you think of that?
That was all right. You don't put baby in the corner.
Baby in the bodyguard.
3 40-plus-year-old men on the phone talking about women movies.
Speaking of women's movies, you know what my favorite women's movie is? A League of Their Own.
Was what?
One Night in China. What?
No, A League of Their Own with Madonna and Gina Davis.
Oh, that was
Davis.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that was awesome. I cried at the end.
Tom Hanks was awesome in that movie. Came in there and pissed in front of all the girls.
He was pretty fucking awesome. I guess you better get us back on track, Craig.
Did you see Robin Hood with Kevin Costner?
Waterworld? Yes, I watched
Robin,
it. It sucked, but what's his name was awesome. God damn it, old man. Stoner.
The bad guy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
The sheriff of Nottingham?
The what?
The sheriff of Nottingham?
The sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
Did you say the bad guy was awesome? Who are you talking about?
The bad guy on Waterworld.
Dennis Hoffman? What are you talking about? Waterworld? That was a piece of shit movie.
Dennis Hoffman, that's who it was. Thank you.
What movie did you ask? I thought that's who we were talking about.
I asked about Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Waterworld.
No.
Robin Hood sucked too.
Robin Hood was awesome.
And that goddamn trailer, that goddamn scene in the trailer wasn't in the movie.
Okay. The point is, happens in a lot of trailers.
They lied to me. That's the point. I didn't want to see it.
What was the movie? What was it about the scene in the trailer that killed you when it wasn't in the movie?
I don't know. It just
you can't even remember.
I do a lot of drugs now. I did a lot of more drugs back then.
Okay.
You gotta give my mind a little slack here when it comes to the 80s. Early 90s.
Okay. Any other good movies that he had made?
Well,
I want to say he has not seen.
Okay. So, besides the show being a train wreck, China had some thoughts on Stephanie McMahon and also the WWE's domestic violence policy. Okay, bear with me. Former WWF Intercontinental Champion China has resurfaced on social media and posted a video on YouTube yesterday titled, and I kid you not, and the Award for Female Disempowerment and Disrespect goes to Stephanie McMahon Levesque. In the video, China discusses a number of topics on her personal life before discussing how she came across an article on Stephanie McMahon on YouTube, Yahoo.com that upset her. McMahon was announced as a recipient of the Eisenhower Fellowship Award recently. China noted
hey,
that being What's that?
That's a great president.
Yes. China noted that seeing Stephanie trending on Yahoo's front page and asked, "What is wrong with the world?" She knocked McMahon and said she was bad for business and is, quote-unquote, lucky she has the golden ticket. She said McMahon sounds ignorant and offensive to her. China noted that when she sees McMahon talking about her, quote-unquote, love story of how you met your husband, talking about Total Divas and her support and love for women, it's, quote-unquote, just you. China also referred to WWE's announcement of a domestic violence policy, saying that it's not okay to have WWE violence on TV while deploring it in real life. She said it made her to want to have no association with WWE or wrestling. China said part of the reason her life has, quote-unquote, been such a living hell over the past decade is the violence and abuse she dealt with in both her life personally and inside the wrestling business. Wow.
Jealousy's a bitch, ain't it?
Okay, first off, I hope someone's called Child Protective Services on the couple that has left their children with China, because there's something very terribly wrong with these people. And who the fuck tries to serve little kids vegan food, for one thing? And
What are you talking about?
She started the video talking about how she's taking care of her friends or neighbors' kids. And
would mean I liked the video. I didn't watch it. I just took some off. I wouldn't.
Well,
I ain't watching the kind of video.
Okay. Well, she talked about this for a long time. It's a long video. It's like 14 minutes. I listened to the whole thing. And for the longest time, I had no fucking clue how she was going to put Stephanie to what she was saying. You know what I mean? She just was rambling incoherently. Had a lot of bad things to say about Xbox, saying that Xbox beat her and got her all drugged up, and then she called the cops, and then he hid in the bathroom, and then she really fucking went off on Xbox. I think he could fucking sue her for what do you call it?
Libel.
Yeah. And I mean, she really talked some shit about him. But, you know, it's just typical China. You know, I mean, at one time I was one of the biggest China fans, you know, when she was in DX and first came out, even when she started wrestling like Jericho. And, you know, I got the Playboy issue, the first one. And, you know, I was a big China fan, but just seeing who she's become since wrestling, she's just as bad as Tammy Cinch. They play this victim card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have the world in their hands, and they blew it. They let their things get out of control, but it's not their fault. It's everyone else's fault. And it's like, you know, take a little responsibility. Have a little respect for yourself. She talks about she wants nothing to do with WWE. Well, after making three or four pornos, two of which I've seen, you know, I don't think WWE wants anything to do with her. You know what I mean? It's like, I can understand her being angry, but her reasoning is like, you really need to just stop and look and kind of look at yourself. And maybe look at yourself and accept that you can rise above.
The only
thing
to bring you back is TNA. That should tell you something right there.
Yeah.
Remember she worked with Kurt Angle in some kind of mixed tag a few years ago?
Karen
Angle.
I remember she also beat Masahiro Chono in Japan.
Well, that's just stupid.
people
are still complaining about shit from 15 or 20 years ago. Still,
yeah.
I don't know, still bitter and stuff like that. You get over it. I mean, what the fuck?
First of all, look at the woman and what she's done outside of wrestling. So she gets let go of by the WWE, and then the very next thing we see her on, and this is, you know, years later, She's on Celebrity Rehab. Okay?
For real life.
She's in the, fucking mean to a midget,
so,
that bitch.
She thought that room was for her now. When she thought Minnie Mae's room was for her when she got to the fucking house. And they try
That's
to explain.
Right.
This is Minnie Mae's room. This is why the bed is so fucking small, you stupid bitch. Pardon my language.
And then, by the way, she's criticizing Stephanie McMahon. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, she was dating, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and now Stephanie's married to Hunter, so there's probably no animosity there whatsoever. So, yeah.
Even if there was, it's been like 15 years to get over it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's either happened to you or you've been around somebody that's happened to. It sucks, but, you know, after so many years, you get over it and move on. I mean,
true.
Did you guys ever see the
Anna? I just heard rumors about this kind of stuff.
Did you ever hear see the Anna Nicole Smith where she was having a Christmas party in China and X-Pac were there?
Yes, it was on Wrestling Observer Live. When he called in, he was at that party. He was at
that
party.
That's so awesome.
It was her country bumpkin, a cousin or something with like four teeth in her head. She got drunk and went crazy and tried to start fights. Not that I watched the show, I heard a recap of it.
I remember listening to that Wrestling Observer Live, and he brought that up, and then a couple of weeks later, there they are, walking in the door. That was funny. But anyway, go back to what you were saying, Craig. I don't know if you're finished or not.
I just remember Anna Nicole saying, and my friend Joni showed up with her cute friend.
Mm-hmm. Her friend.
Oh, that's right.
That was funny shit.
I don't know why I watched the greatest shows of all time,
but I did now.
Anyway, as in most things, all you have to do is consider the source. And, of course, there's going to be sour grapes. She's probably been holding on to this for God knows how long. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, on her shows well.
And in Stephanie's defense, she is the face of, like, all their charity work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's the one that's, you know, in charge of it at all these things. I mean, she spends a lot of time doing a lot of stuff. And then, you remember that real sad video about the little kid who died? She started, like, a whole foundation under his name and stuff. So, you know what I mean? She's not – she might be evil on TV, and maybe she wasn't the best – writer or booker at the time, but you know, she does have her positives. I mean, she does a lot of work, you know what I mean, for charities and stuff.
I mean, she's not just the boss's daughter. She's just got this big office in Connecticut. She's sitting up there lighting farts in her office all day. She's actually doing some fucking work or something, you know.
Yeah.
She's not just sitting there tweeting and playing on Facebook like she got none of those. Making for the company. I mean, Jesus Christ.
He's lighting farts in her office all day. Thank you, Katrina, for putting that so.
Sorry.
I just had a vision of Stephanie up on her desk, legs in the air.
I think Triple H is a great man. He maneuvered all this stuff great. He got it. He may be the most successful man in the history of pro wrestling and the smartest.
Definitely the smartest.
Yeah, I'll give him that. Okay.
I'm sorry, I guess he's just basing this on I guess Stephanie poked him up when they were together 15 years ago. Well, no, you should be over it by now.
Absolutely.
Now you just sound jealous. That's all he is.
I couldn't agree anymore. So our last story, there is a little pay-per-view this weekend. Of course, it's on the WWE Network and possibly on a pay-per-view channel near you, but I wouldn't count on it. Anyway, this Sunday, Hell in a Cell is the pay-per-view, and I have the lineup right here. I will slowly read the names because I don't like getting stepped on. In the kickoff show, we have Miz TV with Damian Mizdow to start off. Okay.
Main event, any ring in the country?
Sure. We have the WWE Tag Team Champions Gold and Stardust versus the Usos. Gosh, we haven't ever seen this one before.
I feel like you're going to be saying that about a lot of these matches.
It'll still be good, though. It still might even be one of the top two or three matches, even though we've seen it a lot. But whoever thought Cody was as wacky as he is now?
Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably always had it in him. He just hasn't let it come out. And
one thing about that family, you give them anything. You give that family anything and make it work. They don't give a fuck.
A polka dot or make you kissing men.
I mean,
matter.
They put everything they have into their characters, you know.
They make Aunt Jemima your valet.
That's right. That's right. We have, oh my gosh. I'm looking at this lineup and I'm seething. I'm getting angrier and angrier as I read it.
There's actually a good match.
Because, yes, but we've already seen them.
Who?
In fact, this next match is on SmackDown tonight. The WWE Intercontinental Champion Dolph Ziggler is wrestling Cesaro in a best out of three falls.
No, that's on the pay-per-view. It's the one fall tonight.
Yes, it's at the pay-per-view.
Anyway,
But
I want to see it because I want to see Cesaro hit Ziggler really hard.
But Ed, I thought Monday, it's on SmackDown and it's going to be on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's the whole problem with what they. We've seen everybody wrestle everybody. So many. I'm actually looking forward to Randy Orton and John Cena because I feel like I have not seen it in a while because of all these other undercard matches that I've seen, you know. Every week.
You're actually making a good point.
I mean, this makes everybody wrestling. It's like people complain about Randy Orton and John Cena. Heck, I'm actually looking forward to it. At least something's on the line, and you know they have not wrestled that much in like the last 4 or 5 years. And
sure.
I'm being sarcastic when I say that they actually have not wrestled that much. And they had a couple matches on pay per view. Like earlier this year and stuff like that.
The only way to change it, though, dude, is for them to bring back jobbers. And I don't know how that would go over now. I mean, I watched it as a kid. That's all we watched back in the day. But I don't know. Would you want to see a bunch of jobber matches? Like,
I don't think
the
audience would go for
it.
They've been given too much stuff. They've spoiled
the
audience
like,
too much matches.
They're kind of like damned that they do and damned that they don't. You know what I mean?
The jobbers are turning to the guys they should be pushing.
Unfortunately, yeah, because they don't have real jobbers. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I say, they're screwed either way. You could push these guys higher than they are now by having them beat jobbers. But since you know it's a day of the thing of the past, you don't have jobbers now, so you got to have the guys face each other all the time, have 50-50 booking, and they end up becoming jobbers. So
and the thing is,
jobbers
follow all the everybody that holds the titles. They lose more than anybody.
Yeah. I know, but let's not get Craig off. I hear this argument every week on the Brian and Vinny show.
I'm sick of seeing this stuff. They
lately hasn't been very good. I mean, let's be honest. It's really sad. It always sucks this time of the year. Some reason.
It does. It really does.
They should just go dark and come back in January or something like that.
Come back for the Rumble.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're not wrong. I mean, for the last 3-4, as long as I can remember, this time of year usually sucks.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just burned out on it.
Like I look forward like a match like Ziggler and Solo. It'll probably be really good. In fact, maybe the best match on the show if they give it enough time.
Probably.
But I mean, Ziggler comes out the champion. They're going to be losing on Monday night to somebody.
Yeah.
Most likely. I mean, they lose. I think Dolph Ziggler lose more in the since he's become the champion. And he was being buried when he wasn't a champion. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah.
They gave him the title to bury him even more.
Yeah, that's why I would you would like to see Cesaro have a title. I don't want to see him with the Intercontinental title. He's going to lose it all the time.
Yeah.
The only way they know how to book is you have to beat the champion to get a title shot or something. You can just start a feud. You know, just have a match and start a feud. Champion doesn't necessarily have to lose. I mean, it's okay every once in a while, but not every time, every month. Anyway.
So the next match is the United States Champion, Sheamus. And he's going to be wrestling The Miz.
I saw this match, too.
Yeah. Saw it on last Monday.
It's actually been one of the best things on Raw, though. It's actually been one of the best things on Raw.
Well, because of Miz
Thanks
down.
To, yeah, because of Miz down.
They should have made this a triple threat, so the stunt double would have to do the move.
Too soon to get him involved, I think. Because you know when the breakup comes, it's going to be tremendous.
Well, this is better than Damian Sandow coming out as somebody different every week. One day he's Davy Crockett and I don't know, next week he's LeBron James or some stupid shit. That stuff got old quick.
The Magneto, or how did they say it? The Magneto?
Magneto.
That was awesome.
Magneto. That embarrassed me, and I don't embarrass easy.
Oh, that was awesome. Hugh Jackman deserved an Oscar for that performance.
He's probably thinking, what the fuck is this, though?
He made me believe he was actually moving that thing into him.
Oh, he got himself a new agent after that show.
Next up, we have Nikki Bella against Brie Bella, and the loser must become the winner's personal assistant for 4 weeks of Raw.
It would work better if they stayed with be the other one's bitch.
Well, it's PG-13.
Unfortunately.
I'm pretty sure Nikki's winning this one because she's lost every week. She's had her plans foiled every week. This is kind of like an old school deal right here. You know, where you had to be the person's slave for 30 days.
Right.
She hasn't been foiled, but she's winning a lot.
Wow, your phone sucks.
What?
I said your phone
sucks.
It
sounded like you were ordering food at a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, let me call back then. Has it been this way the whole time?
No, it just started.
I'm going to call back.
Stand where you are right now. Don't move. Anyway.
Put your hand over your head. Okay, stay there.
Anyway, I remember reading the After Mags when I was a kid, or younger, I should say, and one of the coolest storylines I ever read about, because I didn't actually see it, was Missy Hyatt becoming Jerry Lawler's personal assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually see this?
I don't think I saw that because I didn't get Memphis at the time. I saw when they did in the UWF with her and Dark Journey. The best one was when Jimmy Garvin's Sunshine had to be David Von Erich's valet out on the farm for a day. I'm sure you've seen that, haven't you?
I don't think so.
You haven't seen
that? Oh, I think I know what happened. I think I actually turned the speaker on. It's on right now when I look before I started talking.
We're talking about the best ballet for a day was probably what, Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine with David Von Erich?
By far the best. There's never been anything that's even come close to that. Yeah, I mean, there's been a bunch of other ones, but geez, that's the best one. I mean, that basically that vignette started the vignettes.
Yeah.
That kind of started
the whole ballet stuff, you know, back then.
Yeah. I was telling Katrina the first one I remember was the one where Missy Hyatt was the personal assistant for Jerry Lawler.
They had like photos of her working in his house and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I remember she had to do the same thing with Dark Journey. She lost a match. John Tatum lost a match.
Mm-hmm. But you remember when Baby Doll became like a Dusty Rose's, I don't know, slave girlfriend or what, and she stole fucking, what's his name's horse?
Nelson Oil's horse. She had to go work on Nelson Oil's farm, and she rode off on Floyd the horse, and never went out on Floyd the horse.
Poor Nelson Oil. He wasn't even making money back in the day, and they steal his horse and shit.
And stole Dusty's credit card and went to Acapulco for a week.
Acapulco?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one, but the Sunshine Jimmy Garvin one, David Von Erich, was the best. Them watching the dog, and she's got all the dog shampoo on her hair and her all over. Oh, dude, that was crazy.
Jimmy Garvin's out there working in the yard, and she's pulling the skeet shooting for David Von Erich, and he fired, and she said, "Don't shoot Jimmy." He's shot near Jimmy Garvin. And he got the bra on it.
He makes her pull that big ass thing of hay, and she's trying to do it in her high heels. That was great. That was great. But going back to the match, because that was what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Nikki fucking loses, because just for the fact that I hate her goddamn socks.
Her socks.
I don't like that.
Okay.
You hate women for a variety of reasons, none of which I understand.
I just understand. I don't like women in socks unless they go up all the way, like, you know, to their thighs.
Okay, we don't need to hear your, you know, what turns you on. Continue. Not
like
with this conversation, but next match or something. Go to a commercial.
Big Show is wrestling Rusev. Of course, we've seen this before as well.
And I think this is one of the more interesting things on the show. Had a lot more heat than anything else.
Who else thought that motherfucker deserved to get kicked?
Who, the serviceman?
The soldier.
Of course he deserved it.
Anyone besides me thought he deserved to get kicked? He got in the ring. He hit the ring.
He can't be running in the ring.
That's right.
It's a flag.
He deserved to get kicked. He should have put him in a camel clutch and broke his back.
And Big Show, he's about to cry like a damn pussy.
Dude, you know what? He went from like total ecstasy before when they're about to, you know, when the flag's not coming down and they drop that dude, and then he goes to fucking crying the next segment.
I've never been much on all this USA stuff when they do these country angles. Mm-hmm. I don't ever like them.
I think the match is going to be fine.
And I predict Mark Henry turns.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think Mark Henry's going to end up turning.
I think he tries to interfere and he kind of blows it for Big Show. And then on Raw, I think that's when they'll have the big split.
That'll work too.
I think those two guys may have turned more than anybody in the history of professional wrestling.
Oh, I know. Good night.
Sting may be the one that's been turned on more in the history of professional wrestling, but those two may have turned more than anybody else. I know Big Show has. Big Show has been turned like 20 times.
It's impossible. Okay. Then we got... I don't think this is going to be the main event. So I'll switch these over. We have Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, a Hell in the Cell match. I expect that this will be very high chance to be one of the best matches on the show.
Before I saw him power drive that dummy on Monday night and start sticking him with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote that should be fired. God, that was horrible.
As bad as it was, he was actually good. As bad as it was.
The delivery was great.
Have you guys seen the mimes that are going around? You know, like the there's a picture when he's eating the popcorn,
memes.
Looking at the TV, and there's like some different wrestling mimes going around.
Memes
or whatever. I don't know what they are. There's one. The best one is someone put a picture of Tyler Black wrestling a cyber fight match. And if you know what cyber fights is, you'd find it very humorous, which is basically it's the male version of customs, and that is where a bunch of guys would go to the studio in Canada and would basically wrestle matches, and they were basically just told to, no audience, it's just an empty studio, and they'd tell them just to put each other in rest holds. So there's a picture of Tyler Black doing a leg scissors to somebody else, and Dean Ambrose has got the popcorn looking all shocked. It's fucking hilarious, man.
I saw Randy Orton giving our character a soccer goalie.
I'm getting sick of all that shit. Now there's Dudley Boy shit, Shawn Michaels things, Steve. It's like, God, I just want to. God, I can't stand that shit no more.
As long as I ain't got to put it together, I'll watch it. You know?
It was funny when it was one or two, but then when there's like. It was almost getting as bad as the goddamn water bucket challenge.
It's like a guy going for a goal in a soccer game, Randy Orton hopping in with an RKO out of nowhere.
Did you see the giraffe get RKO? That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Okay, continue. I figured Ambrose has to win here. He lost Monday, so.
Mhm. Yeah, that would make the most sense, I think.
Wouldn't be surprised if Orton got involved in this somehow.
I agree.
Oh, kind of surprised. They did the Seth Rollins, you know, tagging Randy Orton Monday. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of the show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but they should have probably waited a little bit. They kind of jumped the gun on that one. But this will probably be, it could have the chance to be the best match on the show. You know, Ambrose is awesome. Seth can go when he's got, like, somebody really good. And hopefully, like I say, hopefully they'll let Ambrose win because it doesn't hurt Seth to lose. He still gets his title shot regardless of being the Money in the Bank. And they pretty much protected him pretty good. He really hasn't lost. You know, since he's been went on his own. So, you know, hopefully they'll do the right thing. But he's WWE, you never know what the fuck can happen. He could fucking win. There's Barry fucking.
I would have Ambrose go over here, and then I would have do like Cena against Rollins on Monday night, and have Rollins go over Cena, which I know would happen, but it's just something I would do, kind of get his heat back from losing, and that's pay for you. So.
Yeah. And last but not least, for the number one contendership, John Cena versus Randy Orton, and this will also be contested in a Hell in the Cell.
I'd like to see Randy Orton win because if he doesn't, I don't know why he gave an RKO to Heyman. That don't make no sense.
True.
Well, because all those vines went fucking viral, now they're thinking they can make him. They're going to turn him face sooner than I guess
they need to. It only took a year, but he's kind of played out as a heel by now. I mean, you know.
And plus, I want to see Brock wrestle somebody else than Cena again. So, kind of hoping he does win.
I would do like. I guess Brock's not going to wrestle again until the Rumble. Or do Cena, Orton, and Brock at the Rumble. And maybe do something like with Rollins interfering and then lead to like Orton and Rollins at like WrestleMania or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, seem like it'd be
What I think would be a good scenario is, okay, you have fucking Orton against Brock. You have Rollins kind of fuck over Orton. Brock gets the win. But then he gets curb stomped right away. He goes to you know, all the hassle of getting them to ring the bell and all that. And as soon as they get ready to ring the bell, RKO, and then Brock just pins him real quick. And then you have Randy Rollins WrestleMania, and you can go with Brock in your plan with rings or whatever.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That'll work.
Yeah, I told you I was a good booker. And if they steal that shit, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, please.
Happened before, Craig. Happened before.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I've suggested has come true as well. It just happens. Ed.
Yeah, after I come up with it, that's how it happened.
I see. And that, my friends, is the end of our news. And that is
I wouldn't want to be a booker because I wouldn't want to read the internet and have people make fun of my shit.
I know you don't cuss, but have you ever just felt like telling when Katrina interrupts you, like for the thousandth time on a show, just telling them, shut the fuck up?
No, because.
Right, I start calling the fucking ghetto black. Jesus Christ.
When everybody talks over each other, I just keep quiet because I don't want to, you know, cause more confusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ed does the same shit, and he's going to yell at me. Okay.
At least
yeah,
I have interesting things
off.
To say.
I don't have no, I don't have nothing good to say.
Here
occasionally you have something funny, but
let's talk about your little Lucha sisters. Like, 5 people know who they are. So why don't you...
A lot more than 5 people know who they are. They have a very big following. There are... I was following the tweets from the Shimmer Show. There's a lot of weirdos out there. You think I'm weird? There's a lot more weirdos than me. But anyway, they're awesome. Hopefully they will get signed. And I'll be buddies with more workers like Daniel Bryan, and Brody Lee, Tony Cesaro, Evan Bourne, but he got fired. But
well, I would have report.
But let me throw out the plugs here since we got 13 minutes to go here and we're finished with the main stuff here. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrer and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's Proper Jam, PROPERJAM. And follow me there. And everything wrestling and music related, I do right there. So follow me on Twitter. You're up, Couture.
Go to youtube.com/Couture. Got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. Got a Frazier playlist that I like to watch every now and then. It's my favorite show. I'm on Xbox Live as Couture, and about a week or so, I'll be getting a new Call of Duty in, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, we got 12 minutes here. So
I have to ask, you guys see the Avengers trailer this week?
I did see the trailer this week.
Did you? What'd you think?
Yeah. You talking about the trailer? Or are you talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, the Avengers, the new next Avengers movie, Age of Ultron.
It looks like it's going to be pretty cool, and I'm excited.
It's hard to get a take on what it's actually going to be about, other than Ultron trying to take control. You know what I mean? It's one of those
mm-hmm.
trailers where. They show you, like, a lot of little things here and there, but you don't know what the fuck's going on, which I like, because a lot of trailers, too many trailers nowadays give you the whole movie, including the ending, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like that. I like how it seems like it's going to be a little darker. The first one was a little more comedy, and I like to see where they could go being a little darker. So that's I like that aspect of it. And... supposedly, like, I was reading one article where one of the people in the trailer is the guy who was Gollum in
yeah.
Lord of the Rings. And a lot of people
yeah,
think he's going to... Turkey, yeah, I didn't know how to say his name. But a lot of people think he's the... God, I can't remember his name. But it's basically, it's the bad guy that the Black Panther is always fighting. So there could be possible they've kept it a secret that maybe the Black Panther has a part in it, or it could just be setting up Black Panther for a future Avenger or for its own movie in the future.
Now, Ultron, he was the one that looked like Iron Man that got hit with gamma rays or something, right? In that trailer? Looked like an oversized Iron Man?
Yeah, like, oh, first God. He's, like, putting himself together from, like, the remnants of, like, Iron Man suits. And, like, slowly, as you look at it, he kind of gets more complete. And then that's his thing. The thing, they had to change one thing, because in the comic books, he's made out of adamantium. But since adamantium is part of the X-Men universe on a different studio, they can't use adamantium. So he's made out of, Vibranium? I forget how you say it. But basically, he's made out of the stuff that the Captain America shield's made out of.
Is X-Men, X-Men is DC Comics, that's not Marvel?
No, they're both Marvel, but there's different studios. One studio, Fox, owns one license, and I think, like, Disney owns the other license. So
They
really can't use, like Quicksilver is was in the last X-Men movie. He's going to be in this he's going to be in this Avengers movie, but he's not going to be a mutant. He's going to be Quicksilver who can run fast, but he's not a mutant because mutants belong to the X-Men world. But supposedly, the studios are in talks, and if shit goes right, hopefully there'll be a Secret Wars movie or series in the future, and that'll have everybody coming together, and that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Now, going back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I did watch this week's episode, and I have to say...
No spoilers.
Ah, God damn it. I'll just say I marked out big time. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.
Okay. Hey, Craig, I had asked Ed this last week. Have you ever watched Arrow?
No. I have not.
You haven't? You really should.
Okay.
It's probably the best, like, superhero TV show I've seen. They get the first two seasons on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's really good.
Okay. I'm still just absolutely loving Gotham. It's just great.
Yeah, those are good, too.
You know what? I get mixed reviews about that. People either say it's awesome, and then other people don't like it at all.
Just love it.
But I haven't seen it, so I will have to wait till I do see it before I can pass judgment.
The Flash is pretty good, too. I watched that.
Good to know.
Cool.
Well, anything else you want to talk about, Craig?
I am good, actually.
Good, Trey. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No. I've said about everything I need to say.
No, come on. I know you got a whole lot more built up in you.
No, I don't have anything. Sorry.
But other than that, I don't really have... Well, I'm trying to think. I always think I don't have anything to say.
I went back and watched that... Because I've been listening to... I don't listen much to Brian and Vinny's show, but I've been going back and listening to the Nitro reviews. And,
yes.
And I went back and watched that Eddie Guerrero Chris Benoit match.
Yeah.
And I'm about to say something really horrible, but after that powerbomb, looking back, I'm surprised Eddie didn't go home and kill his family. That fucking powerbomb is, oh, God.
It was pretty brutal.
Yeah, so it was. That was the stiffest powerbomb I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was. I haven't gone back to rewatch it, but I remember it, and it was pretty.
He just looked like he crushed his face on the floor.
It's weird. You had on one hand, you had Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit almost killing each other, and on the other hand, you had freaking monster trucks running by and shit. I gotta say, I am enjoying the Nitro reviews.
Thank you. I'm actually enjoying watching Nitro again.
Well, enjoy it while you can, Craig, because it ain't going to last.
Oh, I know.
You got a couple of years, though. You got a couple of years. Or a year. Right? A year?
I'm sure it'll be updated by the time you get through. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They only got the first year up. That's right.
Well, they got they get the through like late 96, don't they?
I have no idea.
I
really don't
no
watch
idea.
That much stuff on the network, to be honest with you.
Me neither.
Like MXP.
Pay-per-viewer, unless it's like a documentary or something that I want to watch. So.
Yeah. But I guess we can go ahead and end the show already.
Okay.
If you do have the network, you should watch the network, or you should watch NXT, especially in the next coming weeks when my good friends Leva Bates and VAM will be on the show. Hopefully they'll book Solo Darling in the future. Oh, speaking of which, I do have Solo Darling not booked, but she will be on the show in the coming weeks. I'll let you know because I know you guys are probably going to miss it for some reason or another. But that's okay. That's just more solo for me. But everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody. Oh, and also Carl Stern should be doing the show hopefully here pretty soon. I talked to him, and he wants to do the show again. So we'll have Carl Stern on, and we can talk some old-time wrestling with him. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to you then.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.